Our first reading comes from Acts chapter 8. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go towards the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied to him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does this prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. And the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself in Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson is from 1 John chapter 4. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is now in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll continue with hymn number 611.
Time.
rise for the gospel reading. Today's gospel comes from John chapter 15. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week with the sheep and the good shepherd, this week we have another of Jesus' pastoral images. I joke sometimes that I need to buy a few acres in the area and hope that global warming is actually true and not some kind of hoax. Because if it's actually true, we're living in the next Napa Valley. Western New York will be the new Burgundy region of France. And if that were the case, we'd know a whole lot more about vines and vine dressing. But putting aside monetary amusements, like last week, the "I am" statement Jesus puts forward has three elements: the vine dresser, the vine, and the branches. It also includes a couple of important extras, like dead branches and fruitful ones. Like the owner, the good shepherd, and the sheep, and the wolf, and the hired man. This metaphor shares a lot with the good shepherd, but it also has its own emphasis, where the good shepherd guards the unknowing sheep. The emphasis on the vine is more on those who know. Not on recognizing the difference between the good shepherd and the hired man, but on remaining in the true vine instead of withering. Instead of the beginning of the Christian life, the vine speaks to the person in the midst of it. So let's ground ourselves in the elements first. The Father is the vine dresser. The Father seems to be constantly planting things. He planted a garden at the dawn of time, but then banished those first plantings. He wipes every living thing out, but then causes the waters to recede and bring back the plants. And the dove finds that olive branch. That garden, too, would spoil. He brings Israel into a land flowing with milk and honey and plants them in the promised land. But as Isaiah would sing, "The vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. He looked for justice, but behold bloodshed; for righteousness, but behold an outcry." The Father, as gardener, planter, vine dresser, is an old metaphor. And what any farmer wants is a good crop. He's going to do anything in his power to get that crop. And there are a bunch of things that we could bring forward, but this vine dresser explicitly does two things. He removes the dead branches, and he cleans where he prunes the living ones. These are two separate things. The first is the removal of things that might hurt the full plant. Why certain branches stop being living branches is something of a mystery. I've got a tree in my front yard planted by the builder. Everything was fine initially, but the second spring, some branches on one side barely leafed out, and then they fell off early. Last year, they didn't leaf out at all. The whole tree appeared weakly. So I cut those dead branches off and sealed them up. The tree looked somewhat lopsided, but I hoped that it might get better. And this spring, that tree is budding all over. Those dead branches somehow were hurting the entire tree. Why? I don't know. But they needed to be removed. The second thing can look an awful lot like the first. Good branches might be growing in bad ways. Not that hurt right now, but will eventually hurt the plant. So the vine dresser cuts them back, trims out multiple buds to get the main one growing. Likewise, if you ever raised daisies or roses or other flowers, you deadhead them. You cut off the things that are finished so that the new flowers might come. These might look the same as trimming dead branches, but as we think past the plants, this is cutting something that is living. At the time, it could actually feel worse. But it ends up being for the good of the plant. That's the vine dresser. Turning to the vine, this image compared to the good shepherd is a little more mystical and a little more passive. The main purpose of the vine is to move nutrients from the soil to the branches that bear the fruit. In real life, it's a little hard to always tell where the vine ends and the branches begin. They run into each other. They're an organic whole. I think that's the grounding of this metaphor that we'll return to. The last main part of the metaphor is the branch. Branches of real plants grow towards the sun. They put out new shoots every spring. Every year that they remain attached to the vine, they grow and strengthen and eventually support other branches. They become more like the main vine. But in this world, even redwoods have a life expectancy. An interesting question is, did the branch get pruned or trimmed in fulfillment, like the flowers at the end of their blooming? Or did it stop growing of itself, never blooming? That's the groundwork of the vine metaphor. Let's turn towards a deeper understanding. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. We said that the literal ground of the vine supplies the branches, and that they blur into an organic whole. The incarnation is the first step of this. Remaining what he was, true God, Jesus took on that which he was not, true man. God planted himself in history. In soil. He planted himself in our own flesh. The true vine, after all of those other false starts, came and grew among us. As Isaiah would hear from God, the seed was in the stump of that burned over Israel. Israel would be fruitful yet through this true vine. But in the context of John's gospel, This is the Last Supper. This is Jesus the night before he leaves. And the repeated word is remain. Remain in me, and I in you. This is the indwelling of Christ. For me, I think of it as the Spirit, and Jesus would quickly turn to the sending of the Comforter. But it's the Spirit of Christ. I'm thinking of that old painting that my grandma had on her wall of Christ knocking on the heart. Christ dwelling in our hearts. Like that organic communion of vine and branch, Jesus and his disciples are an organic whole. Christ, the vine, feeds them eternal life, and they bear fruit and glorify the Father. Christ gives us his blood as the sap and removes our sins and puts them deep in the ground. And he does this in two ways. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and my words will remain in you. That word of God is the first way we remain in Christ. The word is what the Father, the vine dresser, uses to make us clean, which is a play on words, which pruning is also sometimes called cleaning. The law shows us our sin, and the gospel takes it away. Because you've been absolved already today. As a servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sins, and they're forgiven. It's that word that lives in our hearts. It's that word that's recalled in times of trouble. It is the word that guides our actions. It is the word that God keeps us connected through. And when we believe that word, we know that the Father loves us. And we can approach the Father and ask whatever we desire. It will be done. We are in Christ, and we remain in Christ through prayer. Inwardly, we are fed and renewed through word and prayer, so that outwardly we might bear fruit. Exactly what that fruit is now and probably always has been in contention, but the same word leads us to know what it is. Last week, the metaphor wasn't fruit, but wolf, shepherd, and hired man. I suggested that when the sheep became aware of the sacrifice of the good shepherd, they stepped up. They had a choice. Follow the good shepherd or be like the hired man. That was the beginning of the Christian life metaphor. In that image, I put forward the commandments, especially the positive force that Luther puts on them in the catechism as how the shepherd acts. That also stands as a good definition of fruit. But there are other biblical ways of talking about it. The Apostle Paul would talk about the fruits of the Spirit and list what we might call virtues: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, which is how I tend to think about them. But John also had his way of talking. John would call it simply love. And love to John is defined by that cross. Love is denying what is most yourself for the good of those you are serving, like putting aside your divinity for humanity. Calling it simply love, I think, has become dangerous in our day, because we've lost that definition of love, or maybe the correct orientation of it. We tend to lose the deny self and for others direction. We hear love without hearing the context in which John recommends love. Our epistle lesson today is a good example. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. But the context is, whoever knows God listens to us, meaning the apostles. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The context is, do not love the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life. The context is that sin is lawlessness. The task to remain in the vine and bear fruit is connected to that testing of the spirits. Only the spirit of truth, that spirit of Christ, that true vine, which we know by his word, is fruitful to eternal life. And this is important because the text gives us a clear warning and promise. When we remain connected to the vine, when we remain in the word and in prayer, we will bear fruit for eternal life. This mortal body might be plucked, but it will be plucked as the branch which has already bloomed. It will be taken as the plant that has produced 30, 60, or 100 times what was sown. This mortal branch gives way to the immortal, like the trees lining the river of life in the New Jerusalem, bearing fruits each month. Another image from John. But the warning is for those who do not remain. The branches that separate themselves from the vine, they wither and are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned up. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. You are from God and have overcome them. Don't connect yourself to that spirit of error. Don't cut yourself off from the true vine. Abide in Christ, and he in you. Amen.